Reading. In medicine, we often get the wrong impression of our patients before we even walk into the room. We see their charts before we see them. The story of Donna in her chart, who I met during my first year in practice, was very grim. She had lung cancer, which had spread to the lining around her heart. Patients who have this problem rarely survive more than a few months. She had been treated with radiation in the hope of buying her a few more months, and miraculously, she was here meeting me as her new doctor 3 years later. As soon as I walked into the room and exchanged greetings with her, I was struck by her warmth. She greeted me with a hug, not a handshake. She also had a great sense of humor. She said to me, "You don't see too many patients with terminal cancer who look like me, do you?" I looked perplexed. "What do you mean?" I asked, having no idea what she meant. "I mean, fat, like me. I don't look like a terminal cancer patient, do I?" We both laughed. She told me about herself. She felt that the miracle time she had been given with the surprise remission of her cancer was such a blessing. She told me she had no breathing problems, pain, or even fatigue. She had become a volunteer at the hospital, using her humor and optimism to help others who were in need of cheering up. She even arrived at her visit on Halloween dressed as a large pumpkin. I told her how excited my young daughter Carly was for Halloween and how beautiful she was dressed up as a princess. We talked about what a privilege and joy it was to raise children. From then on, at every clinic visit, Donna would ask me about Carly. She would come and see me every 3 months for a checkup, but as she said, mostly for a chance for us to visit. After I had been taking care of Donna for about 3 years, she made an urgent appointment to see me. She had developed increasing pain in her right shoulder, with pain that would shoot into her hand. Workup of this problem revealed she had recurrence of her lung cancer as a Pancoast tumor, with the tumor eroding into her brachial plexus. It was difficult to control her pain, and after a few months, she was admitted to a hospice. I visited with her for several hours one evening at the hospice. She talked about how much she had enjoyed her life, telling me about pranks she had played on her teachers in school, about the time she went parasailing, and about how fast her children had grown up. Mostly, she wanted to remind me to enjoy each day and live in each moment. 3 days after my visit with her, Donna died. 6 months after Donna's death, I received a call from her daughter. She asked if she could make an appointment with me to discuss some things. I knew her daughter Wendy a bit as she worked as an administrative assistant in our cardiology department. I wasn't sure what she wished to discuss. When she came, I asked how she was doing. She said, "I'm missing Mom every minute of the day." From all my talks with Donna about our children, I knew how much she loved her daughter. I told her how often Donna would talk about her and how proud she was of her. Wendy started to cry and gave me a hug. She said, "Doug, the reason I am here is I wanted you to know how much you meant to my mom. She was working on a special gift for you when she died." She pulled out a quilt from a paper bag next to her chair and held it up for me to see. The quilt was multiple squares of a pattern of a young girl holding a parasol. "She made this for you to give to Carly. She was so close to finishing it. It only had 4 squares left to put on when she died. I took a quilting class so I could learn how to finish it. That's why it has taken so long for me to get this to you." I cried as I thought of all the pain Donna was in while she was making this quilt. I wept for Donna, who had taught me the importance of living each day the best I could. Wendy hugged me and said, "I know, I know."